Well, good morning again as we continue this sermon series I've called Wrestling with God. We continue to look at people who in one way or another have wrestled with God. And so far, God is undefeated. He's 4-0. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome to today's main event and... We got it. There we got it. You know, we often make fun of people that believe the unbelievable. Think about the number of people who claim to have seen aliens or experienced alien abductions. How many of us believe those stories? Some people seem to be very open to believe the unbelievable, while others are highly skeptical. Some people are so skeptical that they refuse to believe the evidence in front of them, no matter how believable or unbelievable things may be. You know, magicians like Harry Houdini, David Copperfield, or now today's Chris Angel have made a fortune doing the unbelievable. And as a kid, I always loved watching magicians. I thought magic was real. And I know we longer believe in that kind of magic because I know they are just tricks. But I'm still amazed at the brilliant illusions that they do, aren't you? I mean, you know it's a trick, but still you're like, how'd they do it? Well, this week's challenger is a familiar character. Thomas will be forever known as the doubter. In our resurrection story, we had some people that ignored the evidence and doubted Jesus had risen. And nobody was a bigger skeptic than Thomas. To him, it was inconceivable. Which that comes from a quote of a movie I like, but we'll let that one go. One would think that after following Jesus for 3 years, watching him perform numerous miracles, including walking on water, healing the sick, raising Lazarus from the dead, that the disciples, after the day of resurrection, would be shouting in the streets that the Messiah has now performed his greatest miracle by conquering death. Wouldn't that make sense? Whew, it happened just like he said. The tomb is empty. Woo-hoo! But instead of having a fervent belief at the sight of the empty tomb, fear and doubt overcame the disciples. Even after hearing the reports from the women that Jesus had been seen alive, after John and Peter see the tomb is empty, after reports from two men traveling to Emmaus, do the disciples go looking for him? I mean, all these people say, Jesus is alive. I've seen him. Do they go run and say, all right, let's go look for him? No, they hid in a room and they decided to talk about it. This must have been the very first church committee. We don't know what to do. Let's have a committee. From Luke 24:36, it says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see me. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, the disciples finally see Jesus for themselves and they're so overcome with joy and amazement that some of them still can't believe this is real. I mean, is this a dream? Can this really be happening? And Jesus leaves them, and later the disciples are joined by Thomas, who missed the previous appearance. And we all know the story of doubting Thomas. Thomas told the others he wasn't going to take anybody's word for it. He had to see it for himself because this was just too unbelievable. As we go to John, verse 24, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again. I guess there's never too many meetings. And Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Now Jesus starts with the phrase, "Peace be with you." A calming phrase. A phrase of assurance. A phrase that says, "Relax, I got this." And after trying to put Thomas at ease, he says, "Thomas, look, feel, touch. This is very real." But then he quickly said, "Stop doubting and believe." Stop doubting and believe. See, Thomas walked with him for years. Thomas heard firsthand from his closest friends that Jesus was alive, and yet he did not believe. We all know people like Thomas. And I could hear Thomas as the women came back from the tomb saying, "Our Lord has risen." And Thomas going, "Are you sure? That don't sound right to me. I need more proof." And Peter and John come back out of breath, proclaiming, "Guys, the tomb is empty." And Thomas retorts, "It's early, guys. You must be mistaken. Are you sure you were at the right tomb?" And then the travelers from Emmaus come running up and saying, "We met Jesus. He walked with us, but we didn't know it was him until we broke the bread." And I can hear Thomas saying, "Really? You walked with him all that way and had dinner with him and you didn't recognize him? I'm sorry, but that's unbelievable." And then 10 of the disciples tell Thomas that Jesus showed up and ate with them, and Thomas still says, "I don't believe you." And I could hear one of the other disciples saying, at least in their mind, "Man, how much more proof do you need? How much more proof do you need?" And finally, Jesus appears right in front of him and he says, "Stop doubting and believe." And finally, he does believe. I think Thomas, unfortunately, represents a lot of people who claim to be Christians. Thomas had a lot of knowledge of who Jesus was and what Jesus taught. Thomas had the testimony of many others that Jesus had risen, yet he did not believe. And many of us in this very room have a lot of knowledge of who Jesus was. I mean, we got a whole Bible full of testimony about who Jesus was. And even today, we have the testimony of people who have experienced Jesus. Yet I think there are many who claim to be Christians and don't really believe. I mean, a real, no doubt about it, kind of faith. Ask yourself, do you really believe? Thomas finally believed, and we read from the scriptures, Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." My Lord, my God. Can you say that? He is my Lord. He is my God. That's a lot different than saying you're a Christian. That's different than saying, I believe there is a God. My Lord, my God. And it's not that you just say it. Do you live like He is your Lord? Do you live like He is your God? In verse 29, then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." None of us have physically touched the holes in Jesus' hands like Thomas. But many of us have seen Jesus in other ways. We have seen the love of Christ in our fellow believers. We have seen people who truly serve to meet the needs of others. We have seen people who go out and boldly proclaim that Jesus is Lord. We have seen the power of prayer. And just a week ago, I went to a revival service in Westchester. And a friend of mine, and yours, Norm Fish, he was healed of severe knee pain that he had been battling for 2 years. Been to the doctors, been to rehab, done everything, and he was in constant pain. And in that revival, now when you think revival, you think of a big, fiery, red-faced preacher spitting out at you. Well, she's about 5'5" and quiet. But she brought the truth of what God is capable of doing if we believe. And my friend Carrie was convicted, because when his knees hurt, he went to the doctor. When his knees hurt, he went to the therapist. When his knees hurt, he opened up that bottle in the cabinet. But you know what he didn't do? He never went to God. And he surrendered his problem to God. And at that moment, he went up to the altar and he gave it to God. He had his moment where he said, "My Lord and my God, I give it to you." And that very moment, God took the pain away. And I had to show up and do a job at his house that Monday morning. And guess what? The pain was still gone. My Lord and my God. Is this a statement that defines your life? If I met some of your friends and I asked your friend, what is the most important part of their life? Would they say it was your faith or your job? Would they say it was your faith or sports? Would they say it is your faith or your house, your cars, your clothes, or your money? What would people say about you? Because if we truly believe, people should see where our heart is. And when asked what is the most important part in your life, what best describes your life, would anyone describe you as a man or a woman of faith? Would anyone dare say about you that there's nothing more important to you than your faith? Would they say, you know what, there's nothing more important to that person than serving God through the church? Would anybody say you can't keep your nose out of the Bible? Would anyone say that your conversations always end up about Jesus? or they know the name Jesus for a different reason from your conversation. You see, it's time for us to stop doubting. And it's time for us to start believing. I mean, really believing. Really believing that God is God. That Jesus Christ is His Son. That Jesus Christ really died. He was really buried and rose on the third day. And to believe that He ascended into heaven. And to believe that we can live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you a real believer? Because Jesus should be speaking to you right now. Stop doubting and believe. Because saying you believe does not make you a Christian. Living out your belief is what makes you a Christian. Being baptized, having an altar call, hitting an emotional high during a Christian retreat, reading your Bible, attending church, saying prayers, these are all beginnings and disciplines. And these can and should always be a part of your experience as a Christian. But they become just moments or things unless you come away a believer. A believer who gets it. A believer who lives it. And trust me, we will all have moments of epic failure. But real faith, real faith, real belief will keep us coming back to Christ. It will keep us coming back to the foot of Christ. It will bring us back to righteous and holy living. Are you willing to do this today? Are you ready to meet Jesus and say, "My Lord, my God"? Are you ready to stop doubting and believe? Are you going to remain a skeptic like Thomas? Are you going to be a skeptic like Sarah, who laughed? God's going to do what? That's a good one, Pastor. You think God can really fill this church again? You really think there's a chance for a revival? Some of you are like that, aren't you? I'll tell you what I believe. I believe Jesus still loves. I believe Jesus still saves. I believe Jesus still heals and redeems people. I believe miracles are still possible because I serve a risen Savior and He's in the world today. And as the old hymn says, "You ask me how, I know He lives, because He lives within my heart." Do you believe? And are you willing to proclaim, "My Lord and my God"? Let us pray. My Lord, my God. Your Holy Spirit is working on us today. Lord, remove fear. Remove the doubt. Let us reclaim our identity. Lord, now together in silence we confess to You. We confess our doubts. We confess our disbelief. We confess for all the times we have not been living as Your children. We confess of the things that we have done wrong. And we confess to You the things that we have left undone. For sometimes our silence can be just as worse as anything we could say. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling in their faith that you fill them, renew them, restore them, and redeem them. And Lord, for those who are unsure, give them the faith today to trust you with their heart. Allow them to surrender in full forgiveness to you so that your Holy Spirit may come upon them and they too may utter that phrase, "My Lord, my God." Lord, continue to be with us as we march forward as your people, with you leading us by your will as our God. This we pray in the name of your sweet Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.